in chapter 5, it says this: all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's why Bert and Sandy have left. They understand that God has entrusted to them the message of reconciliation. They're down there in Haiti serving the Lord. And as a congregation, before we leave tonight, we're going to be praying for them, committing them to the grace of God, that the Lord will strengthen them and use them in ministry. But for now, they're just going to come up and share with us what the Lord has been doing, what some of their challenges are for the future, what some of their plans are. So Bert and Sandy, come on up. And when they're done, I'll just share a few minutes from the Lord.
I just like to thank you, first of all, how blessed that we really are to be not only be here in front of you, our home church, but the second day I actually arrived home after being in hot weather. I got to appreciate the cold very quickly. But to be here the very first Sunday that was opened up was just a special gift for, I know, both Sandy and I, and to be able to be with you and you know, worship with you in English. It was extra special. As 2014 opens as a new chapter before us, we'd like to take this opportunity to thank our God, who is fully of mercy and grace. We stand humble, so unworthy to represent the name of Christ, yet so thankful for his birth in a stable was only the beginning of the story, and he went undeservedly to the cross, rose 3 days later, and now sits at the right hand of God, all to save lost sinners like us. Our ministry wouldn't be possible without you. Thanking each and every one of you for your prayers, your financial support, and your love for both us and our family. We're grateful for you, our church family. We hope through our presentation you'll receive a better understanding of our daily ministries, the hardships that people in Haiti experience daily, and Haiti is the most impoverished nation in the Western Hemisphere. God has been so faithful to us in the past year as we follow the path that he has placed before us.
We relied on our all-sufficient God to guide and lead us, and he never failed. God took us back to Haiti in 2013 to continue the work. We strongly felt the words God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:1. Sorry, technical. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. It wasn't always easy. There were many kinds of doubt that we were insufficient to be in this land. Times of worry for all the ways this was changing our comfortable life. Times of uncertainty for our future and what this will look like as we get older. And times we've felt so far behind enemy lines that we thought we'd never escape. But God is our El Shaddai, our all-sufficient God, who meets us where we're at. He always sent truth when we needed it most, through his word and prayer and family and friends' encouragement. We became surrounded by new friends on the field who have encouraged us and mentored us along this path, especially Ian and Alice Van Norman.
There were a couple that encouraged us, believed in us, taught us, supported us. In essence, and truly discipled us as fellow believers. In analysis, a successful retired couple who have given of themselves to the people of Haiti, not just financially, but with their time, energy, and knowledge for months at a time.
We were challenged by the work that lay before us,
both in construction and administration, and each day awed by the work that was accomplished at the L'Hôpital Claire Harouche.
Wow. Within days of us returning in January 2013, our floor plans for an expanded maternity ward, new maintenance and delivery depot, plus a second phase that could happen in the future of two new operating rooms, a new x-ray room, and a new emergency room, all were approved by the hospital administration within a few short minutes. At that point, all I could say was, wow. Who said things happen very slowly in Haiti? As I stopped and prayed, Lord, is there not someone more qualified? What was reminded by Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. After reviewing the workload, size of the available work site compared to the finished building, plus how we had to reconstruct ourselves so the hospital could continue to operate, it became quite evident to both Ian and myself that this was going to be a logistics nightmare, requiring constant change in our day-to-day workload. I soon found I was drawing on every life experience I had gone through, both good and bad. At one point, I was constantly thanking the Lord for putting me in through hard times. It was only practice and training to what He now had me doing. Since last January, as a crew of about 20 to 25 patients, Ian, three short-term missionaries, and three short-term teams, we've been able to complete far more than we ever could believe. Our first challenge was a 12 by 12 by 32 foot septic tank plus drain seal. That's approximately a 36,000 gallon tank. A 30 by 20 foot storage depot and a maintenance depot. These had to be constructed prior to even starting. The old depot was now being turned into a 30 by 30 maternity ward, which now houses 10 to 12 people. The ward room, washrooms, consisting of three toilets, three showers, and three sinks. At this point, there was only two in the whole hospital. A semi-private room for three with their own shower, toilet, and sink. A private room consisting of its own shower, sink, and toilet. We hooked up a new well that was provided. A water tower to support the hospital. We built a new electrical and inverter room. Constructed new 12-foot gates for security. And we also, this past fall, began phase two, which is consisting of the two operating rooms, the x-ray room and the emergency room. New hallways and an atrium were put in place. Plus there was many other community, hospital, and compound jobs. All these while the hospital continues to fully function. My trust in the Lord has increased daily.
The
administration part of the hospital that kept me busy for sure. Besides, as you saw in one of the pictures, doing Bert's payroll and keeping on top of all of the administrative part that goes with construction, I worked at the hospital in the accounting office. A new accountant was hired at the hospital, Guy Patrick, and he's been a real blessing because he speaks English. Teamwork became a focus. There was a new cash system that was put in place, which was really exciting because hospital cash had, they've had trouble balancing it over the years, and this is the first time they've been balancing their cash now for a year, so that's exciting for us that are working with it. We've done a review of pharmacy procedures and staff. And another one of the most encouraging things is staff meetings that offer open lines of communication in the hospital. It's not always easy because of the language barrier that we come across, but we're certainly trying to meet on a weekly basis and keep those lines of communication open. With it being a Christian hospital, we're all serving the same Lord and God, and that certainly helps with everything. We have been enriched by the help provided by fellow missionaries with the electrical and plumbing work at the hospital.
We've been able to draw on resources that have been in place, but our hope is that we can further develop resources from our own church community.
Those fellows that you saw there, Russ is a full-time missionary that lives in Port-au-Prince. He actually, him and his wife do run the guest house in Port-au-Prince, and he's been very helpful to Bert. And Jim Donaldson, there's a big contingency out of Washington and another out of Michigan and Texas. And Jim comes from Washington, and he comes on a regular basis as well. We sought discernment with the numerous needs, and it was provided. Micah 6, 7, and 8 says, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of the body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Discernment is always a big part, like I said. Every day we rely on discernment from God in who we should help, what we should help with, the amount we should help with. This is just an example of one letter. I was in the hospital accounting office. Rosanna is very familiar to us. I don't know whether you recall when we... I guess whatever year it was, when we started short-term missions in Haiti, we did the Sister's House project. She was part of that. And she comes to us regularly for help. We really have to discern with her what is true need and what isn't. But this letter came personally to me by her into the office. And it says, "Please, Mrs. Boot," and just so you know, Bert is Boot in Haiti, because they can't say their R's. It says, "Please, Mrs. Boot, my children sleeping hungry today. They will be dead because I don't have anything. Please again, look at my life. Give me something. You are my God in the city. God bless you, Rosanna." That's a hard letter to receive. I know, if Bert shows you the next picture, the number of children that are at her house. And I'm sure they were hungry. I know we've been there on days where there just isn't enough to go around. I, through a translator, told her I couldn't be her God in the city, that only Jesus Christ could be her God. Through that, we communicated. Patrick was able to help me with that, and I told her that because I loved her children and did not want to see them hungry, that I would offer her some money this time. But I wanted her to go to the market. I wanted her to purchase the food and take it home to her children. And she offered to come back to the hospital with her food to show me, and I told her no. At this time, I said, I will trust you that you're going to do that. And I sent her off with about I gave her 1,000 goods, which is about $22 U.S., which would buy them for that many children, and a few more adults would buy them maybe meal for 2 or 3 days.
As Sandy said, it becomes a daily a heartache for you. I can deal with the physical job aspect. I can deal with the mental of what has to happen, but I really struggle over and over again by the daily needs of what's required. I sometimes actually pray that I don't have to go down to the market or go within the town because I know I'll be stopped. And if I keep saying to myself, I really don't have that time, but I'm quite often brought back at why I'm really here. We try our best to discern. We have many good stories to talk about. Unfortunately, sometimes people take advantage of the situation, and it causes reason for us to step back and reevaluate how or whether we should continue helping. We've tried over more and more times to go to the hospital chaplain or the pastors because they know who's really hungry and who's not. But it's hard when you have a little child being brought to you, barely clothed, in an unhealthy situation.
We sometimes make a quick decision based on our busyness and our earthly attitudes. And when we step back, like Bert said, God reminds us why we are there. This quite often means we must stop what we are doing, find the person in need, and invest time and resources as best we can. This young girl came to the gate of the compound one afternoon. I shouldn't have been home. I'm usually at the hospital in the afternoon, but I know now why God had me home that afternoon. She brought her little boy to the gate, and he was fevered, very fevered. And I started to talk to our guardsman and tell her that we couldn't give her money because we needed a receipt in order to know that she had gone to the hospital, gotten the care that she needed for her little boy, and spent the money wisely. And again, this is where discernment comes in. I sent her away with tears in her eyes. And I got back up to the apartment. And the Holy Spirit just humbled me and said, that little boy, he is a sick little boy. And if he doesn't get medicine or help, it's not going to be a good situation. So In the compound, we can wear shorts. I had my shorts on, so I got into my skirt, and I walked to the hospital, to the pharmacy at the hospital, and I thought the least I can do is get the little boy some Tylenol so that his fever can be reduced. I got to the hospital pharmacy. We didn't have any Tylenol. We were out of stock. So I got one of my Haitian friends, and he walked with me to another pharmacy across town, and we bought the medicine we needed, and I headed back up to the compound, knowing that I needed to find this lady, that she had gone. So I started going house to house and knocking on doors and saying, baby malad, is your baby sick? And people look at me, no, no. And so I just kept going, and I couldn't find her. I knew the basic area she lived in, so I went and got help again, and my help took me to her home, and she wasn't there. She'd gone to the hospital on her own. So back I tracked to the hospital, and when I got to the hospital, the doctors said, no, there hadn't been a mother here with a little boy, And I thought, oh no, what, you know, I've got this Tylenol, she needs it, she hasn't been to the hospital, where is she? Well, sure enough, by the time I walked back up to the compound, and at this time I had my anesthesiologist friend with me, and she, of course, speaks fluent Creole, there was the mother and boy sitting at the gate waiting. So not only did they get the Tylenol, but they got the instruction in Creole so that she understood the amount she should give him. Now, as it turns out, this little boy was hospitalized for 2 or 3 days. We provided all of the medication he needed. I have no idea what was wrong with him. That's one of the difficulties we have, is full communication and knowing. But we knew we helped her, and that was just one of the ways where, you know, the Holy Spirit just laid such a burden on my heart for that little guy. And one other story, this is Cece, the lady in the middle, of course, with the food on her, balancing on her head. Cece is a mother of about 60 years old. She's lost her husband to AIDS. She contracted AIDS through her husband, so she is a sick lady. And she has grown children. She has 5 or 6 young children that are living at her house, grandchildren, and some that have been born to her later in life. And she comes faithfully to the gate looking for help. And she's a beautiful Christian lady. She has a beautiful smile. If you remember, some prayer requests came through for a young girl named Chrislyn that was full of cancer. Cece cared for her. So there's a story of a woman that's living with just unbelievable circumstances in a small little shack, and yet she's living faithfully for the Lord.
Matthew 25:34-40 says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to you to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'"
This young man, when we returned to his good friend, he'd come to know the Lord in 2012, and has just been a wonderful blessing in our life. When we returned to Haiti, he had been in a serious motorcycle accident, which we didn't know about. His foot had almost been severed from his ankle, or the ankle was twisted so that the foot was 90 degrees to his leg, and he had knee damage, and he was on crutches when we arrived. We knew we needed to help him. His hospital bill he brought to us was $1,400 U.S., and when you consider an average Haitian laborer would make $5 U.S., there was going to be great difficulty in him paying this bill. I sent out an email to faithful people that had been to Haiti and others that I knew were praying, and within 24 hours of sending that email, the money was pledged for him. We were able to take him to Gonaïves, where his brother lives. His brother had actually paid the bill for him, which we didn't know at the time. But when we repaid his brother was so grateful. He wanted us to keep about $250 U.S. of that money as his portion towards his brother's medical bill. But we assured him that the people that had sent the money loved Philly Bien and were doing this in the name of Christ and wanted him to have all of the money, and he could use that for his three children's schooling. So that was a really great experience again, how God has been faithful through people.
We experienced God's healing power in the life of this young girl, Azealia. Chaplain Haran came to us soon after he arrived in September, asking us to help this hospitalized young girl we'd never met, who was basically on her deathbed. I can't say anything more than I was totally moved. And we talk about the Spirit moving you. I was totally in tears. I didn't know this girl, but I was touched by the Holy Spirit and compelled to offer whatever we could.
When Chaplain Arantz left, Bert said those words to me. He says, we have to help because I just feel led by the Holy Spirit. He says, I have no idea where this will lead and what it will look like. Her father had not worked for 13 months in order to care for her, for the daughter. Her mother was handicapped. She had another sibling at home. We were able to provide through a group of, actually some of my girlfriends who are committed to helping others rather than exchanging gifts throughout the year, the hospital care she needed and food. She came to us the end of September as a need, and she was still in the hospital in about the beginning of November. I think she left for a few weeks, and Bert thinks that she's back in the hospital. Now, when she came to the hospital, she was not able to sit. She had no bodily functions. She had no bodily control and basically was on her deathbed. But every day, when I went to the hospital, I went in and prayed with her, and she was just a real blessing in my life. I'm so thankful that she knows Christ as her Savior, and so does her father. Many times I'd walk by, and I'd see them just worshiping with their hands in the air, this sick girl that had nothing, and just so thankful that that Christ was working in her life. And that was another exciting story in a way that that God was faithful.
We've been blessed with many new friends in Haiti who've been patient with us despite our language barrier.
We personally have experienced spiritual growth in our own, both in our own lives and by witnessing God's hand working in other lives. There's several that Bert works with, and he'll tell you about a couple.
Nick, who's a 21-year-old, he has two kids out of wedlock, one that actually had passed away last year and another one that was born last December. A year ago December, we got to be there for their first birthday. He's hoping to get married this spring. He's been putting money aside for his wedding. He's attending church weekly with his wife and daughter, and he wants to serve the Lord as he can. When Jordy was down last year, it was neat to watch the two of them. They were like brothers together. Nick always looking at Jordy and what he's doing. Yodi. He's 31 and the father of four. He actually is the oldest of 14. His mother was 12 at the time when she was born, when he was born. He actually has siblings, two siblings that are actually younger than most of his kids. He looked after all 14 of them. He's now in the process of completing a 3-room house. He's attending church regularly. He's supporting his kids through his own hard work. He's not even asking others to help.
This is Guy Patrick again, my friend in the accounting office. He's 34, a divorced father of one son. He has become a very good English-speaking friend, but he actually rebuked me one day. We were talking about Cedelia and her dad after he had been up in the office and we'd been providing some funds for him. And he said, that man is really unusual. He said, most dads in Haiti, when problems arise, they're gone. They don't stay on the scene. They're not willing to help out. And he said, that dad hasn't worked for 13 months and he has stayed by that girl's bedside, sleeping on the floor. He said, he is just one special man. He says, I want to be a father like that. And then he turned to me through a little further conversation, and he said to me, Sandy, he says, you've never invited me to church. And he says, and you're a missionary. Well, those were hard words to hear. I knew he was Catholic. I knew he went to Catholic church with his grandmother. I worked with him every day. But I hadn't taken the time in all those months to tell him about the good news of Christ. We kept our relationship very business. And I said, you know, Patrick, you're right. I said, I haven't, and I'm ashamed of myself. I said, will you come with us this Sunday? And he said, yes, I'll be there. So we set out at 7, and he came, and he has been coming since, and he has been asking lots of questions. It's so neat. After he heard the sermon, the first message that he went to, he wrote me on Facebook, and he said, it just really hit me. He said, I want to be prepared when the King comes. And I said, Patrick, that is so easy. And I laid out the plan of salvation for him, and I said, if you want to talk more and when you want to talk more, I'm ready. We provided him with a Bible, and when I was home, he actually wrote again, and because I'd encouraged him to read through John, and I said, you know, if you have any questions. And he said, well, actually, he said, when you hired me, he said, I told you I was divorced. And I know what it says in Matthew about divorce. And again, I shared with him. I said, that's the great news about Christ. I said, you know, we all live with regrets in our life, but Christ wipes the slate clean. And I said, when you give your life and your heart to the Lord, I said, you begin a new life. And it would be the best gift ever that you could give your little 6-year-old son for him to have a Christian daddy. So pray for these 3 young men. They, men are not, what's the right word? They're not the spiritual leaders of the houses in Haiti. Many of them aren't married. It's a sad situation what happens there. So for 3 guys to be, you know, just asking questions, coming out to church, and through church, they are hearing the gospel message in their own language, which is much more than what we can offer them. We have ministered and shared God's word and truth with a group of guys who are great friends to Bert and seeing God's restorative grace. We are praying for opportunities for further discipleship.
I always wondered how God used conflict. And again, it came very quickly. Like I told you before, the job site was very small. There's a lot of work happening. And it would be like, if I can describe us trying to be here at the church while all the rooms are being worked on at the same time and no one could come in the hallways or anything. That's the way it's been since last January. And now I would have to say, as we've gone in the second phase, I would have to tell you that as you're going up the gym, you'd only be able to go down one aisle out there to reach the parking lot. It's presented a lot of problems. It became more and more evident as we began phase two at the same time as phase one. Patients and visitors were always commenting on and interfering with the work, crossing barriers. Down there, we quite often have straight to the construction site with nails and everything. We've had, I wish I had a camera sometimes, pregnant women and in labor walking through, trying to walk it off. And we're kind of like, okay, you have to keep ushering them back in off the job site. We've had footprints put in their concrete the same way. So it's constantly has been in the job site. It's becoming more of a major hazard on the site. Tension was creating more and more tension. And one day, late one afternoon, the boss man, site foreman, came to me upset. He was going home. He had had enough. An argument had taken place between him and another worker, and he wasn't getting the respect that he deserved. And more than that, that everyone else was hearing this. So this was the end of the day. I left it alone, letting him go and the other worker go home also, until the next morning, hoping that tensions would subside and that we could have a proper conversation. But the crew's expectations were that I was to make a decision on who was more important and get rid of the other. And since I didn't make the decision, they all stopped working. They actually walked off the job site. After about 20 minutes, my foreman came back, ashamed. He realized that he had now jeopardized the livelihood of the whole crew. In Haiti, this was to take place. The boss man, which at this time would have been myself or Ian, were to let them all go. He begged with me. He was upset. As a Christian, how could he act like that? And what was he teaching others? He asked me for forgiveness. I did. He also commented that many of his crew had short wits because they had no fathers as they grew up. They were all seeking some sort of recognition from others. As we discussed this, and then we met as a full crew, a body, to discuss what was going to happen as consequences to their actions, it came to me. And I openly discussed this with them. We are a body and should act like a body. We all have different jobs to do, but needed each other. See, I had a boss man, but the man he was conflicting with, I can jokingly say, was my muscle. He was a person that would, with the drop of a hat, would do anything. The conflict was simple, just a simple discussion. That went into just, when they look at it, went beyond what it should have. I talked to them about each other, had a gift, a talent, a skill. God had created each of them differently, but we were to act as one body. I also told them that there would be no discipline action. That we all sin, that Jesus died for us. It is only through him that we can have saving grace. Through more conversation, tears began to fall. As a group, a body, today approached Francie, weeping, and hugged him, asked him for his forgiveness. They've truly become good friends. And that was, Frank Dave has talked to me. They're like father and son. I pray for both of them.
We've experienced God's hand in the nurturing and growing of a small group with fellow English-speaking missionaries. Acts 2:44-47 tells us all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to this daily to their number. The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
We had a difficult time through the summer months, thinking of our return in the fall. It was particularly hard for Sandy as we discussed her return. I felt it was important for her to come home for John and Becky's wedding. The Father Guilds have been faithful, supportive family friends for 25 years. So we booked her ticket home 3 weeks early. It was our hope that something would work out financially, that she could return again to join me for the final 3 weeks, or I could make it home for the wedding. I can be home running too. We left this in the hands of the Lord. One thing Sandy needed was the support of friends to come alongside her in Haiti.
God is faithful. A missionary family at the orphanage in our town were also seeking Christian, English-speaking worship and fellowship. A small group has begun offering prayer support, study of the Word, worship, and helping each other through our different ministry resources. We do attend a Creole-speaking Free Methodist Church, and although we experience community with fellow Haitians, we need more. And God has been just provided for that in a wonderful way. This family is from Michigan. The local orphanage in town has about 40 kids at it, and they're... Let me see if I can get this pointer to work. This is the couple that are running it, and they're also taking over for an elderly couple. So it's neat the way God forms common bonds. We were also blessed beyond measure when Bert received an airline ticket back to Ontario to join our family at John and Becky Mark's wedding, just 24 hours before I was scheduled to fly.
God is faithful. The morning we had to leave Desilene to get Sandy to the airport the following day for a flight, I went to the hospital to help Low Block that I was sharing with Ken at the orphanage. I was talking with a gentleman from Texas who comes in to help the orphanage on short-term missions trips. I only met him a couple of times briefly. He was appreciating how much I was doing for the hospital. I answered that I am only a tool here. There are many people being used by God. Without the support of my wife here working with me, mentors like Ian and Alice, and the prayers of many, I don't know how. And the most importantly, the leading of God, none of this would happen. Through conversation, he asked me why I wasn't returning for the wedding with Sandy. I said I couldn't afford it. He told me I could use his travel points, and it wouldn't cost him anything. I thanked him, but declined his offer. When he was ready to leave, he again approached me and said, "It is impressed upon me that you need these tickets, and that I should talk to Sandy, pray about it, and call him back." After discussing it with Sandy, and discussing it with Ian and Alice, that the job site, and Ian and Alice, after discussing with them, the job site they could handle for the 4 days I would be gone. And as far as the prayer, the Lord had already answered us because we had prayed for it months before. So in a matter of an hour, I was booked on the same flight as Sandy coming home together.
That finishes our...
Well, I just thought we had such a beautiful family. I wanted to show them.
That finishes our slide and talk about Haiti, and I'll just conclude by saying these words. May this always be our heart cry. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Psalm 26, 2 and 3. We will be returning to Marchand Desalines next Sunday, January 12th. Coming back to Ontario on April 10th, Lord willing. This year, God has prompted us that to meet the needs of the people we work with, that we will spend May and June in Haiti as well. Essentially, we have become career missionaries, although through God's goodness, He has allowed us reprieves at home. Haiti is a tough place to live. Our town has no grocery store, no malls, no entertainment, no Tim's on the corner, but these are all things we've grown accustomed to. The biggest blessing in the furloughs He has extended us is not to come home to those things, but to come home and spend time with our family and friends, worship with you in our home church, rest from the long hours, and retreat from the daily grind of life in an impoverished country. We thank you, our church family here at Newcastle, for supporting us as we continue to minister through the mission statement of the Claire A. Ruth Hospital and Haiti Healthcare Advocates to evangelize, to heal, and to teach, which is what that picture, that's actually the side of the hospital. If I was brave, I'd say it in Creole. It says, Mission Program Santé Desalines Nantes, Evangelize Jerry of Ediki, I can't say that word, that's too hard, that's the population, and Ampou Ampichal Vinmelag. So that is to evangelize, to heal, and to teach. Pastor Jacques always reminds us, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Jim Elliott.
We are reliant on outside financial support to do our work. Although it is a desire not to make it our focus, if you feel led to help either our ministry directly or the ongoing needs of the hospital, Claire Hillaroos, please feel free to talk to us. May we always give God the glory for His faithfulness, provision in our lives, and the lives of our children. Please keep us in your prayers as we enter this new year to service to the great I Am. As we will keep you in our prayers as you witness to those whom God puts in your path.
Thank you.
Bruce and Sandy, thank you so much for just sharing those thoughts with us tonight, just giving us a little bit of a window into what God has been doing in your life and through your ministry. I'm not going to be long here tonight, but I was thinking about what I would share with you guys. And as I share with Bert and Sandy, the rest of you can eavesdrop in because there are things here that I think will encourage all of us. I've shared this verse with the God's people here at the church many, many times, thoughts on this verse, but I really felt impressed that this is a verse that you need to take with you this time when you return. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers, therefore, Bert and Sandy, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." That's a verse you need to take with you guys. Stand firm. Don't let anything move you from what God's called you to do. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You need to serve the Lord faithfully. Faithfully, like you have been. Paul says, always. Not sometimes, always. So serve the Lord when you go back, faithfully. And why should you do that? Because God is a faithful God. He's been faithful to you, and He'll always be faithful to you. The Bible says, the rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are just. A God of faithfulness, and without iniquity, just and upright is He. And not only should you serve Him faithfully because He's a faithful God, but you should serve Him faithfully because He promises to reward a faithful service. The Bible says, the Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out of my hand against the Lord's anointed. The Lord rewards faithful service. So you need to always serve the Lord faithfully. Number two, you need to serve the Lord sacrificially. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourselves. Give yourselves. So serve Him faithfully, but serve Him sacrificially. Continue to give of yourself. Guys, you're sharing here tonight. I don't know about the rest of you, but we take things for granted here so much. We're going to go home tonight. Most of us are going to open up a fridge and we're going to be able to eat something, right? And people in Haiti are dying all over the place, starving to death. We have so much. Continue to give yourself sacrificially. We should do that because of what Christ did for us. He gave Himself for us. Number three, not only serve the Lord faithfully, not only serve the Lord sacrificially, but according to 1 Corinthians 15:58, serve the Lord wholeheartedly, with all your hearts, even when life is tough. The Apostle Paul says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Not partially, but always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. That's a dedicated service. That's a wholehearted service, not a half-hearted service. And he says this in Romans 12, verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So he says, I just urge you, because of what Christ has done for you, to present your bodies, but your whole being, as a living sacrifice. So serve the Lord faithfully, serve the Lord sacrificially, serve the Lord wholeheartedly. And number four, serve the Lord confidently. Confidently. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God will accomplish His purposes through you. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Every time you open up the scriptures, every time you share Christ with those people down there, God will accomplish His purposes. And so as you prepare to go, I want you to remember this verse. I want you to take it with you. Therefore, Bert and Sandy, 1 Corinthians 15:50, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. How should you serve when you go back? Serve Him faithfully. Serve Him sacrificially. Serve Him wholeheartedly, and serve Him confidently. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've been doing in Bert and Sandy's life and through Bert and Sandy's life. Father, we thank you for their desire and their passion to serve you, Lord Jesus, to give up. As Sandy said, even as Jim Elliott said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, to keep what he cannot lose. I pray for them. We pray for them, Lord, as we will in the next few minutes as well after the worship team comes up, Lord. But Father, we pray for them and we pray for ourselves as your people that 1 Corinthians 15:58 would also be our passion, our desire, that we would give ourselves as your people fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in Jesus Christ is not in vain. Father, life isn't always easy. We grow tired, we grow discouraged, we grow confused.
But give us the grace, dear Father, to continue to stand firm. Give us the grace to not allow anything to move us from that great goal of serving Christ until that final day. And Father, we'll be just relying on you, looking to you, trusting in you, and we give you thanks and praise that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.